You're listening to episode 57 of the Mad Chatters Podcast, October 28th, 2015.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and I'm joined, as always, by my fellow chatters, Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Jeremy.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
How appropriate. It is Halloween time, so this is our very special Halloween episode. That's the Count from Sesame Street coming to you.
Of course.
What are you guys doing to get in the Halloween spirit this week?
Sacrificing virgins, drinking the blood of swine, lots of fun things.
That's to the usual.
The usual, you know, typical Friday.
Praying to Satan.
Is Anna wearing a costume this year, Matt?
Yeah, she'll be a little lamb.
Oh, talk about sacrifices. Yeah. Well, that's precious.
Yeah, it'll be. Her little head sticks out of it, so it'll be cute.
Aw, well, we'll definitely have to see pictures of that, please.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about some Disney news. And we only have two items, but ironically, they are both kind of scary, but for very different reasons. And the first one is a Tower of Terror film coming up. Now, we actually tweeted about this back in August. Do you guys remember seeing it back then?
Yeah, maybe.
They announced it like August 6th or 7th, somewhere around there, that John August, who is the kind of the head of the Big Fish film, he kind of headed that up. He is creating the story for a new film based on the ride Tower of Terror. And then this week, I guess, Disney or someone confirmed it because it was all over the news that this is happening and they're just looking for a screenwriter. So it looks like it's in the works. What do you guys think?
I'm very excited, but at the same time very nervous, and that's only because of the... Well, it's not really a horrible movie, the first one from the 90s with Gutenberg, but...
No, it's horrible. We can be honest. It's bad.
It's horrible in the same way that Hocus Pocus is kind of horrible.
No, it's okay. So much worse than Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, okay, but...
But that doesn't mean I love it any less, because I used to watch it a lot.
Well, exactly. It's a kind of lovable... terribleness about it, but yeah. I'm sure this won't be that way. I hope it's creepy, you know, the right amount of family creeps, but
I think you're gonna say you don't have high hopes because you saw Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy. Oh.
Well, no, that casts shadows on everything since then until it comes. Every movie is questionable because of Haunted Mansion.
It's true, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll give it a chance, but to me, Tower of Terror is so centered on Twilight Zone, and it's not going to be connected to Twilight Zone at all, from what I understand, correct?
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, you're coming up with kind of a totally original storyline.
Well, that first one was as well.
Yeah, but that was made for TV. I mean, that was just... I think they did that just to promote the ride. I mean, that was like a Saturday night ABC movie. They used to do those.
Yeah, after Goosebumps.
Yeah, this is something that's not... I'm thinking this is theatrical, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't think it needs to be tied to Twilight Zone. I mean, pretty much every scary movie nowadays has at least like similarities to Twilight Zone, but it doesn't.
I'm just saying.
Do you think that they'll eventually remove the Twilight Zone references?
As a possibility, yes. But I'm also saying that I think the two are so tied together that it's hard to think of the Tower of Terror without thinking of the Twilight Zone. And so, not having a Twilight Zone reference or feel or whatever tie to it will make it feel
I think
it's like doing the Haunted Mansion and not having, you know, grinning ghost or the hitchhiking ghost. Like, you have to have those.
The same.
You have to have, but they're, I mean, it's sort of the same.
Well, look, the only they're out of the four Tower of Terrors that there are in the world, there are four, correct? Yeah, Paris and Tokyo are the only two.
Okay.
Others.
Okay.
I don't think that they're Twilight Zone related. The other two.
I think you're right.
Maybe France is. I know Japan is not. Japan's got this explorer's haunted mask kind of thing going on to it. I don't know. Something like that might be cool in the way of a movie. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see when it comes out, and then we'll rail about it when they try to change it.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, well, I do say I love Big Fish a lot. I mean, he might have done a billion other movies that I hate. I didn't look him up. But
is that about Jonah?
What? Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, it's the Tim Burton
film. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, Albert Finney.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
He's my favorite Scrooge of all time.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, maybe he'll be in Tower of Terror. Who knows? But let's get to the other piece of news that I wanted to mention, and this is food related. And over at the Gasparilla Island Grill at the Grand Floridian Resort, they are serving
the Grand Floridian.
I said Fleur, and then I stumbled, so I just kind of finished the word. Okay. At the Grand Floridian.
We have a Lorita. We have a Lorita at the town just south of Avon Park, and the Grand Floridian sounds like a Holiday Inn Express down there.
I'm just going to skip it. That resort is serving gourmet hot dogs. You know what? I'll get to that in a second. They're serving gourmet hot dogs themed to different regions of the United States. And they're going to serve a different hot dog for every day of the week. So are you guys ready for me to list these off?
Yeah.
The Cleveland is topped with French fries, coleslaw, and hot sauce. The Seattle is topped with cream cheese, raw jalapenos, chopped cabbage, and sriracha. The Kansas City is served on a sesame seed bun with Swiss cheese and sauerkraut. Is Kansas City known for sauerkraut?
Apparently so. Now that I know.
I thought barbecue.
I did too.
Kansas City.
But then next is the Memphis with two slices of bacon, barbecue sauce, chopped scallions, and shredded cheddar cheese.
This is just a broad, ignorant appeal. Keep going.
On the fifth day of the week is my favorite. The Idaho is served not on a bun, but on a baked potato.
Oh,
and piled high with bacon bits, chives, sour cream, and shredded cheddar cheese. The New York is topped with mustard, sauerkraut, again, and onion sauce, whatever that is. And the Chicago is your traditional Chicago-style hot dog. You got a pickle spear, celery salt, tomatoes, whole sport peppers, chopped onions, green relish, and mustard on a poppy seed bun. You guys are going next week, right? You got your reservations?
I'm not a hot dog fan. They kind of taste like burps. So
it's appropriate that the World Health Organization came out this week and said processed meats cause cancer because all of these sound like you want to die after eating them. The Cleveland, what was the ingredients on that?
It's topped with French fries, coleslaw, and hot sauce.
Okay, you eat that and your Cleveland's going to become a Cleveland steamer. I can see that.
And hey, whatever floats your boat, we're not passing judgment here.
Second thing, I think the Idaho, that is so disgusting to me.
Served on a baked potato.
Yeah, like they cut the, from I saw the picture, they cut the baked potato like in half, you know, and then the hot dog, no, that's not okay. Like that, a baked potato is very heavy, and then you're going to stick a hot dog in there.
It's kind of like the burgers on donuts.
I don't feel like any of these things are representative of the areas. I mean, maybe the Chicago one is the only one that's like, oh yeah, that's what they put on their hot dogs.
Yeah.
But like, where's Carolina? The Carolina style with slaw and chili on it and mustard, chopped onions. I don't know. Do they put cream cheese and jalapenos on their hot dogs in Washington?
Yeah, that's so strange to me. I mean, at least Memphis has barbecue sauce.
It sounds like a screwed up sushi roll.
Well, what I was going to say was, it's just like Disney to jump on the bandwagon that started like 4 years ago. Like around here, we have Corey's Hot Dogs. Do you have that?
No.
Okay. It's like a hot dog place that has...
Around here, we have Oscar Mayer.
Well, it has a different hot dog for every state in the U.S. And it's kind of popular, and because this was like a big thing 4 or 5 years ago, and just now Disney is getting in on it. But
it's lingering around. Listen, but they need to stop labeling gourmet on crap just because they add stuff to it. If the meat itself is not quality sausage, then it's not a gourmet hot dog.
Maybe it is.
Well, here's
doubtful.
Here's the thing, too. I feel like there's so many good food options at Walt Disney World, and we've talked about hundreds of them, and we will continue to talk about the hundreds and hundreds of them to come. But hot dogs appeal to children. I mean, as in a vast majority.
No, I don't agree. Not anymore.
At Walt Disney World, you don't think a hot dog is there just for a child?
And no, absolutely not with all these topics. I really think like this is like the new food thing, like food trucks and all that kind of stuff. People love trying different things on their hot dog.
No, I
don't. All you need to try on your hot dog is Nathan's Frank's sautéed in butter with grilled onions on the side. That's all you need. There's a gourmet hot dog for you right there. Don't worry about grilling. Certainly don't boil them things or I'll come and find you and cut you.
We call that one the Matthew.
Yeah. Complete with the threat.
Well, if someone does happen to get down to Gasparilla Island Grill and tries one of those hot dogs, please let us know what it's like. And please order the Idaho, because that's the one I'm most curious about. So, speaking of food, let's jump into our first segment, which is munchies and merch.
I have got to teach you about food. Close your eyes. Now, take a bite. Of this.
No! 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 Don't just fork it down!
Oh, yes. I'm rumbly in my tumbly. Time for something sweet.
And speaking of champions, friends, Canine Crunchies is the champion of all dog biscuits.
Cheddar! Cheddar!
It's pretty scrumptious.
And since this is our special Halloween episode, let's talk about some food and merchandise that is fall or Halloween related that we've been wanting to try. Matt, you go first.
I'm going to start with my munchies or munchie. And I was looking up some things. I'm a fan of bubble tea. Or anything that's got those little tapioca pearls in it.
Wait, what's bubble tea?
It's a Japanese, and I guess it originated in Japan or somewhere over there. A Japanese drink that's typically tea and milk, and then they put little tapioca pearls in it, and they're almost like little gummy blueberry sized pieces. They don't taste like much.
We mentioned these about this on last year's Food and Wine podcast.
Oh yeah, we had a bubble tea then.
Is this the thing you compared to that drink at Diagon Alley with?
Yes. Oh yeah, the fishy green ale has those.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the same things. They're like little gummy, tasteless bits inside of tea. But this is not a milk tea. Or this is not a bubble tea. I don't think it's called the Buggy Brew from Friar's Nook.
Okay.
At the Magic Kingdom, and again, I'm not actually sure what's in it, but. It looks good to me because it's got the tapioca bubbles in it.
What color is it?
It's green.
Oh, okay. So do you think it's like an apple or like a melon?
Or green tea?
No, it's like green. It's buggy. You know, like buggy.
Yeah.
Insects.
Like bug juice.
They do have a pumpkin spice bubble tea, but I don't.
That doesn't appeal to me.
I don't. The pumpkin spice thing, I'm done with. So.
Yeah. Speaking of bug juice, do y'all remember that show on Disney Channel, The Bug Juice?
I remember of it. I've never seen it, but
I wonder what happened to those kids.
Remember of it makes no sense whatsoever.
But I know that's what you said.
I was just going to let it go, but since you
I remember
go,
of it,
I know of it, but I've never seen it. Anyway, so what's your merchandise?
I have no merchandise. I'm not interested in buying anything Halloween-related from Walt Disney World.
Great.
I think I've made fun of their merchandise before, their Halloween stuff. I might throw in like something from the Haunted Mansion, like as a spooky thing, but that's going to be all year long you can buy that.
Well, yeah. Thanks for playing, Matt. my munchies.
That's what I'm here for.
My munchies is... Now, full disclosure, I have been sick the last 5 days or so, and
please,
nothing...
Please not full disclosure.
Well, not full disclosure, but anyways, I still have not gotten my appetite back, and so nothing looks appealing to me at all. So when I was trying to find something, like, everything I looked at, I was like, vomit, no.
Those saltines look great.
And so the only thing that kind of appeals to me, and this the current state, is I saw, apparently at the Food and Wine Festival, there's a pumpkin mousse. Did you all see this?
You are all about some mousse.
I love mousse. I do love mousse. I love it because it's so light and rich and I just
fluffy.
Love mousse and fluffy, which it's how people describe me.
Yeah.
Light and rich and fluffy. So the
I don't know if any of those things actually apply.
You write about that. Anyways, the pumpkin mousse there at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, it looks good. If you like pumpkin and you like mousse.
I would try
my
that.
Merch is, again, I'm kind of like Matt, where none of the Halloween merchandise really appeals to me. The only thing that I kind of liked was they have the magic bands now with the Haunted Mansion wallpaper skin on them.
Oh, yeah. I'll go for that.
Yeah, I really like that. I wouldn't mind having that as my magic band. A nice purple with the little creepy design on it. It's cool. And
you
I like
know,
purple.
3 years ago, I never thought I'd see the day where we were picking out the magic band designs we wanted to wear. That's very interesting.
Well, this is my first one, so
that you can completely customize them now.
Yeah,
right?
You can. Yep.
So you can do whatever you want on them.
They just announced that.
Within reason, I guess.
Oh, right. okay, so my food is actually something I mentioned last year, but I'm going to mention it again because I still really want it. And it's over at Sleepy Hollow. And it's the Spiced Pumpkin Waffle Sundae. So the waffle itself is spiced pumpkin, and then it's topped with soft serve ice cream, cinnamon sugar, and sprinkles.
That sounds delicious.
I know. Quote, spooky sprinkles.
Ooh.
I know.
Yes.
So it's just like, they just up the ante on that. Mm. But anyway, I would love to try that sometime. My figurine is the merchandise I want to talk about. And you're right, it's not Halloween related. It's just spooky because it's Haunted Mansion themed. But I think these are really cool. And they are the little figurines that are modeled after the stretching portraits in the stretching room. And it's the three men sinking in quicksand. Mm-hmm. And it's like a molded figure of them that you can like put on your desk or bookshelf or something. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I think they have the one with the ballerina on the high wire as well. So...
Yeah, one day when I am rich and fluffy and all those things, and I have lots of money.
One day when you're not heavy, but you're light.
Exactly. I would love to have my home and have a Haunted Mansion-themed library. I think that would be so cool. And then get all kinds of fun things like that to put in it.
Obviously, you'd have the wallpaper, yeah.
The wallpaper, and you know, then the busts as well that kind of turn and follow you on the shelves with the books, and then you know, you can do all the little fun knickknack and tchotchke things.
I thought that too.
Give the gravekeeper's dog a bone.
Nah.
Time for another Mad Chatter game! And now, here's your Mad Chatter host, Mad Chatter Jeremy!
Thank you one and all. Thank you, Steve, for that beautiful introduction. Happy Halloween, everyone. I hope that you're doing well with your spooky things. And we're going to play a game now that centers around... Disney villains.
Yay.
Disney villains. So here's how the game's going to work. I am now. These are only villains in what are considered the Disney animated canon.
Okay.
Feature animated films canon. Okay. I am going to give you the first line of dialogue that the villain speaks in their film, and you have to tell me the name of the villain.
Oh my word.
It's a lot easier than what you'd think.
I'm going to be lucky if I can tell you the name of the movie.
You'll be fine. All right, Matt, since you're the champ, would you like to go
actually,
first?
Actually, I lost last time, if you recall. Then.
Okay. Derek, since you're the reigning champ, would you like to go first or second?
First.
First, all right. The questions have been marked in a predetermined order. That's the
Are we stealing right. these? Are these stealable?
You know, I'll let you steal. Let's do that. That sounds good.
That gives points.
That does give points.
That's how I won last time.
And I'm going to read these in
English.
A normal voice. I'm not going to try and give any hints through this. Okay? Okay, ready?
Okay.
So here we go. First one. Slave in the magic mirror, come from the farthest space. Through wind and darkness I summon thee. Speak, let me see thy face.
The evil queen in Snow White.
That is correct. Congratulations. 1 point for Derek.
What is her name is the question.
Regina.
No. She does have a name, isn't it? It's like
Grimhilda?
Hilda or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They changed that for Once Upon a Time?
But officially for Disney, she is the Wicked Queen, I think.
Or the Quicked Ween.
Oop, yep.
Whichever you prefer. All right, Matt, ready?
Yes.
Well, quite a glittering assemblage, King Stefan. Royalty, nobility, the gentry, and how quaint, even the rabble.
That is Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty.
That is correct. A point for Matt. We're all tied after round one. All right, Derek, your question, or your quote. Who's been painting my roses red? Who's been painting my roses red? Who dares to taint with vulgar paint the royal flower bed? For painting my roses red, someone will lose his head.
That would be the Queen of Hearts.
Correct. 2-1. See, I told you it's pretty easy, but they get progressively harder.
Right, as they do usually.
I always had trouble with her. I mean she's a kind of a villain, but she's just more or less kind of just crazy.
I mean, anyone who chops off people's heads is not the hero of the story, for
she's
sure.
She's more or less just an antagonist, you know? Not really a villain. She's just kind of loopy.
And have you ever noticed when she meets in the park, she's a lot thinner than she is in the movie as well?
Except her head.
That is true.
Her head
she
is
does
big.
Got a big old fat head. But that's always kind of bothered me. I always like my Queen of Hearts short and pudgy. All right, Matt, your turn.
Yeah.
Blast that! Insert title character's name here. If I could only find his hideout, I'd trap him in his lair. But where is he?
Blast that. Who's in a lair? Oh, well. I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and say the Sheriff of Nottingham from Robin Hood.
Incorrect. Incorrect. Derek for the steal?
Prince John?
Oh, crap. It just hit me.
Incorrect as well, Derek. No points on that.
Can I try just for funsies?
Sure. Just for funsies. It's
freaking Captain Hook.
It is Captain Hook. Congratulations,
oh, my
Matt.
Goodness.
I was thinking
blast.
About animals because of Lair, but after you said it, I was thinking, who would say blast?
He totally says Captain blast. Hook. Yes. And I was never even thinking Robin Hood, but then once you said it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Let me go to Robin Hood, yeah. Let me just pretend I know what I'm talking about here.
EJ.
All right. Derek, your quote. Life's not fair, is it? You see, I shall never be king, and you shall never see the light of another day. Adieu.
Scar?
Scar is correct.
Okay.
Good job. Point Thank for you. Do you remember who he was speaking to when this quote was being said?
Say it again. I shall never be king, and you shall never see the light of day. Oh, that the mouse.
The mouse, yeah. Very good. Very good.
Yay.
All right. Matt's quote. That's when I knew I was born for Africa, and Africa was created for... I thought I saw something. Professor, don't move.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Listen to the clues in...
I know. I'm just scared to say it because I have watched this movie so infrequently. I'm going to say Clayton from Tarzan.
Correct! Very good. Very good.
I can't even hear his voice in my head. So that's how unfamiliar I am with that movie.
I think he's British.
Africa, though. You know, Africa kind of, you know.
I would do my impression of him right now, but, you know.
No, I don't know. Why? Why aren't you doing...
I'm sick. I can't.
Oh. You know, Steve sounded a little stopped up, too. I don't know what his problem is.
Yeah. We both caught it together.
Hmm.
We're life
partners.
That's
curious.
Suspicious.
What's going on backstage at the Mad Chatter game show?
Derek, your quote. Gentlemen, entanché. A tip from the hat from, insert character's name here. How y'all doing?
Oh, wait. I was about to say genie. Hold on. Say it again.
Gentlemen, enchanté.
Enchanté. That's what it is.
A tip from the hat from, insert character's name here. How y'all doing?
You said entanché.
Yeah, you did.
It's like some kind of ghetto name.
How would you spell that? I really don't have a guess. But I'm going to say Gaston.
Incorrect. But I could tell you were listening to the clues. All right, Matt, you get a chance Shay. To steal.
Entanché.
Gave it away almost.
I can't think of anyone else who would be speaking French and then saying y'all.
Right.
Except for Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog.
Is that your answer?
That is.
Correct!
That is such a good guess. Well, because it's right, but if you didn't know that.
That's... And a hat. He's got a hat.
He has a hat. He speaks French and he's in the South. Makes perfect sense.
Like the Trinity.
The only thing that doesn't make sense is why he would say entanché.
Again, New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, now that we've offended our new listeners from Louisiana, whose turn is it? Derek's turn. And we're tied. We're back to being tied 3-3.
It's Matt's turn.
It's actually my
it's
turn.
It's Matt's turn. And we're tied. Back to being tied 3-3.
Yeah.
Taxes. Taxes. Beautiful, lovely taxes. To coin a phrase, my dear counselor, rob the poor to feed the rich.
This is Prince John from Robin Hood.
Correct. Now it's Derek's turn. As it is 4-3. Bring these gypsy vermin to the Palace of Judgment. Stolen goods, no doubt. Take them from her.
Please.
Frollo.
Correct. We are tied.
Within the song, The Bells of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. No points for that.
Dang it. This game sucks.
Here we go, Matt. Yes, hurry home, princess. We wouldn't want to miss old daddy's celebration now, would we? Ha! Celebration indeed.
Hurry home, princess. Daddy. Who calls the person daddy? Good grief, who's up? Who is that?
Would you like me to read it again?
No.
Okay. We're just sitting in awkward silence then while
you're saying. I'm going to say Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Ursula is correct.
Yay.
Good job.
That was very good. That one was tougher.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Derek. Trouble on deck? Thank heavens he's been successfully retrieved. Well done, Smith.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. What is his name?
Oh,
Ratcliffe.
I'll accept Ratcliffe. Yes, I heard Ratcliffe.
Ratcliffe.
It's with my accent. It's hard to say.
Right.
We are all tied 5-5. This is the final question. So, Matt, if you get this, you win. If not, Derek has a chance to steal and win. And if both of you miss this, we go to the tiebreaker question.
Okay.
Here we go. Well, come in, child, come in. Pick up the laundry and get on with your duties.
This is the wicked stepmother from Cinderella.
Correct!
Yay!
I believe her name is Lady Tremaine.
Oh, yes, that's correct, too.
Also correct! So, with a score of 6-5, Mad Chatter Matt has won another game. Take us out, Steve.
Congratulations, Matthew! You are the Mad Chatter champion! Join us next time, same Mad Cheddar Podcast, same Mad Cheddar fun, and happy Halloween!
This week we're going to do another Mad Q Party, which if you've never listened to this show before, our Mad Q Parties are where we ask 10 kind of hypothetical questions about Walt Disney World and kind of have fun answering them and going around the table. And since it's our special Halloween episode, we thought we would do all Halloween-themed questions today. So let's go ahead and get started, and I will ask the first one, which says, what attraction in Walt Disney World do you think would be the creepiest to experience alone after hours? Matt, what'd you say?
The obvious answer here is it's a small world.
Okay.
I'm dead serious.
Is it running?
Oh, yeah, it's running and the music's going. It's the dolls. And I think I see the little images. Did you ever see that? What was that movie called? Escape from Tomorrow?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that guy has his weird freaking out stuff at the park, and the little dolls have creepy eyes and stuff.
Oh. You watched that thing?
I did. My wife Jessica and I went to see it at some little indie theater in Louisville.
Wait, like, you paid money to watch it?
It was like $5.
Oh, man.
And?
It was terrible. I mean, it was interesting.
Okay. Jeremy, what about you?
I think this would be creepier than that on a different level. But that is the Maharaja Jungle Treks.
Maharaja?
Maharaja.
I say it with a Spanish accent.
Maharaja.
It's like the name of the tiger in Aladdin. Raja.
Okay. The Jungle Treks there at Animal Kingdom, because I have been back there when you're by yourself, and it's pretty creepy, but during the day, like, when the sun's out, because it is very secluded. So I'm just picturing, like, if you're there after dark, nobody else is around, and you're trekking through there. Not to mention, even though the animals are in enclosures, if you didn't quite know where the enclosure was, and all of a sudden there was the tiger right next to you.
How it works.
Well, you know, this is based on not a fear I had, but something that freaked me out as a kid. Do you remember the movie Free Willy?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. In the beginning of Free Willy, when they break in and he's doing the spray painting, and they don't know that they're in like the room where you can see the windows of the whale, and so he's spray painting. When the lightning strikes and it lights up the pool in the room, and there's the killer whale on the other side of the window, and it scares the mess out of him. Well, it scared the mess out of me as a child.
Oh.
And so I'm picturing like walking through, and I'm like, it's dark because you know there's no lights back there as well, you know, because. Yeah. And you're like, what in the world's going on? All of a sudden, a thunderbolt and lightning flashes, and there's the tiger on the other side of the glass.
A 3-foot bat with his mouth.
With his massive testicles just hanging there. Oh, terrible.
Well, now that you say that, my answer is the aviary in Animal Kingdom. I don't want to be there any time of day, let alone at night.
You can't see anything. All you hear is...
Oh, stop. I hate that sound. No. My real answer is dinosaur. This is so stupid, but even if, like, the lights were on, dinosaurs freak me out. And, like, I don't know what it is about them. Like, their skin, I mean, well, obviously, they're, like, man-eating monsters, but other than that, like, their skin freaks me out, and, like, the pterodactyl.
Well, they actually aren't man-eating monsters because men were not around when dinosaurs walked the...
I just got burned on that one. But something about that attraction, I feel like if I could see behind the scenes and I was by myself, I would get the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies.
Derek is the only person that thinks The Good Dinosaur is a horror film.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing that.
What is that? That's Macaulay Culkin, right?
I've never heard of that.
The Good Son?
Yeah.
He's like a half-brother or something to this kid, and he like terrorizes him.
Oh.
I don't know. I've got it recorded at the house from the AMC Fear Fest.
Okay.
Number two, which villain should get his or her own experience at the park? And what should it be? So this could be anything in the way of an experience, like an attraction, a party, or a hard ticket event, a show. You know, anything goes. So, Jeremy, what villain should get his or her own experience?
Well, I have shared before that I love Ursula, and so I'm going to Ursula. And I'm going to give Ursula her own sushi bar restaurant, which I think is lacking. And I'm picturing, like, in New Fantasyland, like, it'd be maybe next to the Little Mermaid ride. So you go underwater. Really kind of creepy looking, but in the middle is a giant Ursula with her tentacles. And you know, like those conveyor belt?
Yes.
Like, but instead of a conveyor belt, it's going to be her tentacles that just kind of swing around the restaurant, and you just grab the sushi plate right off of it.
There you go.
All right. What's it called?
Poor Unfortunate
Sushi Rolls.
Yeah.
Unfortunate Rolls.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks. That's great. Okay, so mine is going to be Facilier from Princess and the Frog. And, you know, they used to have that magic shop on Main Street. And over at Disneyland, Steve Martin actually worked there. Fun fact, that has nothing to do with anything. But Facilier is going to open a magic shop, not on Main Street, probably in New Fantasyland or somewhere. And it's, you know, it's just going to sell, like, magical things. But, like, every hour or so, he's going to put on a little show. Kind of like Ollivander's over at, you know, Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But he'll come in and do his thing. Because he's a pretty, not eccentric, but, like, he's got a lot of personality whenever he does meet and greets and things like that. So
with those fingers.
Yeah, the fingers. But it's a face character, so he can talk. So I think that would be kind of cool.
Fun fact, Derek actually has the same length fingers as Dr. Facilier does.
Shut up. You jealous?
Yeah.
Can't do that. Mine is a ride, I guess, in New Fantasyland. And this is kind of like something that was rumored forever ago, and it probably still is perpetuated. And this one is going to be called Dark Mountain, the Curse of the Chernabog. Now, the Chernabog is the ginormous demon on the night on Bald Mountain in Fantasia at the very end. So what was rumored for a long time was a villains themed coaster in Fantasyland, and it was called like Magic Mountain and Forbidden Mountain, and all these kind of names were given it to it. But I thought relaying it around him and that whole thing, and maybe at the top, the peak moment, you see a big animatronic version of the Chernabog guy come out, and then he expels you and you go down a hill or propel away or something like that. Who knows?
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. It'd be freaky.
It would, which is the point, yeah.
Maybe he could, like, propel you into the darkness like the Mummy roller coaster.
I was thinking Mummy when you said all that, yeah. It's kind of cool because you said a ride and Jeremy said a restaurant and I said a shop.
That's why we should open a Walt Disney World theme park together.
And for entertainment, Anastasia and Drizella can sit outside Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and just roast all the little girls who come out. Ooh, who did your hair?
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, my number three. If you could hide somewhere in Walt Disney World and scare people, where would you do it?
Okay. So I feel like the Haunted Mansion, for me, was the most obvious choice because you're already kind of scared. So, like, you're already kind of tense, you know? And so I would stand in the corner of one of those very first room where the busts are. You know, the room kind of comes to a corner. And I'm just going to stand there and just, like, make eye contact with people who go by to where they're kind of like, was there someone there? And then the person beside them might be like, I didn't see anybody. Like, I'm not going to jump and be obvious. I'm just going to, like, stare into their souls as they come by.
Yeah.
To be fair, Derek does this every weekend at the local Kroger as well. So he's experienced.
The produce section.
Yep. I just eat my apple and stare at people.
That's good. I also said the Haunted Mansion, but I remember my very, very first time riding the Haunted Mansion when I was 7 years old. And when you come into the area where there's the endless hallway, you know, with the candlestick at the end, if you look to your left, just before your vehicle turns, there's a little door there, and it's got like the little drapey curtain kind of things, I guess just for like an exit area or something. But I remember when I was 7 thinking, someone's about to jump out of there and scare me. And they did not. But every time I see that door, I think that would be a great place for someone to be like, ah!
Oh, my gosh.
So I said that.
I would shout. The only thing about that is you could only do it like every 10 cars, you know, because you'd be like, what's that ruckus over there?
Well, but you don't know where it's coming
from. I know. If I were one of those cars, oh my gosh, I would pee my pants.
Well, I did not say the Haunted Mansion because I felt that was too obvious. But mine's a little vindictive on my behalf because I'm going to stand behind the marble doors at Rock and Roller Coaster in the queue. And when every annoying person walks up and decides to run their hands over them, the sound, I'm going to jump around the corner with a mask on to make it fun and be like, stop doing that!
Or you should just do it from the other side, just really loud. Like, ah, is that loud? Is that loud? Is that loud?
You could jump out and yell, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll jump out of dressed as Steven Tyler.
Yeah, that is pretty scary. You win.
I think the best places to scare people, though, on property would be in, like, Small World or places where they least expect it. You know, I'm thinking, like...
Small World, scariest attraction.
Or, okay, but, like, Peter Pan, like, if you're laying on the bed or something and they're like, is that an auto-animatronic? And you jump up, you know, or whatever. I just think, or you're dressed as one of the pirates in Pirates of the Caribbean, and then all of a sudden you just turn and charge the boat, you know? I mean, that would be the best.
That's true, yeah. Huh.
Just food for thought.
Yeah, I was trying to think of an example, but those are pretty good, yeah. Number 4, where in Walt Disney World, other than Magic Kingdom, would you add Halloween decorations, and what would they look like? And I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, but the thinking behind this was, like, why is only Magic Kingdom decked out? Like, even over in Disneyland, I think DCA used to do some things, and now you really don't see Halloween over there at all, and it's the same in Disney World. So where, other than Magic Kingdom, would you guys decorate for Halloween?
This answer correlates to an answer that I will give later to another question, but I will leave it at simply this for right now. I will decorate the Animal Kingdom... namely the Africa and Asia sections. And this would concentrate on, I guess, you can't really say local because these are entire continents, but myths, you know, legends and folklore of the scary sort that come from Africa or Asia, because they got some scary crap, you know.
I was gonna say all of it.
yeah seriously.
So yeah, we'll get to the other stuff later, I guess, but that'd be the decorations would fit within that frame. Carvings and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to decorate the Mexico Pavilion at Epcot for Dia de los Muertos. Excuse me. Muertos.
You're the one that lives in Miami.
I never claimed to speak Spanish. But I think that would be kind of fun, you know, do lots of those kind of fun, whimsical Mexican skeleton kind of decorations. But then I was also thinking, you know how like it's the pyramid, the exterior? Mm-hmm. So, and to keep with the forced perspective, I want to put a pumpkin on every step with like a carving on it. But then like the pumpkins get gradually smaller as they go towards the top, so it helps keep the perspective that they're all the same size pumpkins.
That is nice. So detailed of an answer.
Wouldn't that be fun though?
Yeah. The mariachi band could wear like skeleton things or something.
Skeleton things, yeah, and they could play Monster Mash in mariachi form.
It's what our country has been demanding all these years.
Yeah.
Okay, so mine is over at Fort Wilderness. It's not in the park, so I may not even ever see it. But since it's like wilderness kind of themed, I think you could do like hay rides and you could set up some scarecrows and then have like bonfires every night where you can roast your own s'mores and hot dogs and things. And you can have like a pumpkin carving station and you could just deck the whole thing out with like a fall theme for all of August and September and October.
They already do the s'more thing every night in the bonfire. Campfire.
They used to either a hayride or a carriage ride around Halloween time. I think they do them all the time, but around Halloween time, they'd have someone telling the story of the Headless Horseman.
At Fort Wilderness?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I know. It was a nighttime carriage ride or hayride or something like that.
Chip and Dale, they host their little s'mores and bonfire, and maybe they show a movie or do a sing-along or something. I don't know, but...
So clearly this is a brilliant idea that I did not research at all.
Yeah, I like what you're stepping in, though.
Yeah, the pumpkin carving, that's unique.
Yeah.
I think.
Next question. If you could add an underrepresented villain to the parks as a new meet-and-greet character, who would it be? And let's describe the experience, if you've gone that far into your answer.
Well, they will meet and greet you.
Waka. I mean the theme, the setting, you know, where it's going to be.
Okay.
I have a two-part answer, because first part of my answer has been done, but it was only done like once or twice, and I want to do it more often, and that is Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas. I just think that is such a fun character for a meet and greet because he's so big. And, like, even though he's creepy and, you know, and that kind of thing, but he doesn't really frighten children too much, at least not in that form. I think it's more like a big pillow. And so I think they need to bring him out more.
It's like a big potato sack.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a KKK helmet on. Helmet. Hood.
Helmet.
But my other answer then is... I would like to see the Horned King from the Black Cauldron come to the parks.
Can't say two answers, because the Horned King is my answer.
Oh, you guys really want to meet him?
Yeah, I think it'd be a fun meet and greet. I think
it would, too. He doesn't talk. I think he shouldn't have any of, like, the quirky, like posing, like, you know, even, like, Maleficent and the villains. Like, they'll
absolutely
pose. Like, I think he'd just be just... eerie and frightening.
He is absolutely terrifying.
He is, and that's why I think it would bring a different element of fun, because you just walk in, there's a cauldron there, you know, that you can pose by.
In fact, you know, this demolished the whole Enchanted Tales with Belle, and you go into that little kid's cottage at the beginning, and you're transported to the dark castle. What's the castle called?
Oh, I don't remember the name of the castle.
You're called in to meet the Horned King.
That would be cool. That would be a fun. Wow, I like that. Enchanted Tales with Belle being overlaid as a Black Cauldron experience.
Yeah,
yeah. Will never happen, but it would be
the
cool.
Enchanted Trail to Hell. I demand more Horned King everywhere.
Well, my answer is, I think you guys would like this, is the Bowler Hat Man, who I know is not spoiler. Fast forward if you haven't seen it. He gets redeemed at the end. Like, he's Goob, you know, the whole time. But I feel like he would be a lot of fun to meet, too. Like, the way he's hunched back and, like, those skinny little legs. And I don't really know what the experience would be like. Do you have any ideas? I didn't really.
Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe some, like, gadgets going on around him.
His little animatronic hat could be floating around or something.
Oh, Doris. That would be cool.
Doris. Yeah,
like a remote controlled thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doris.
Anyway, we get it, Jeremy.
Doris.
It's got Tourette's.
Yeah, Doris. I think you should just do that intermittently for the rest of the show.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt. But yeah, I think he would be fun to me because, like we said, that movie has virtually no representation at the parks.
What's one piece of Halloween-themed merchandise you think Walt Disney World should sell?
We've talked about how the Halloween merchandise kind of sucks. Mm. And as I read this question, I started to figure out why, because there's really nothing good to sell this time of year. At least that's my opinion. That's my small, creative-minded opinion. But I did think maybe like a set of... miniature Mickey pumpkins, you know, like all throughout the park, they have the Mickey pumpkins where it's the one main and then the two kind of smaller ones as his ears. Mm-hmm. And maybe like a set of those or the pumpkins that are around the hub, they're carved with different characters like Tinkerbell and Roger Rabbit and stuff. And if you had like a miniature set of six of those to kind of put around the house, that would be kind of cool. Or magnets maybe of the same style.
Or even... you know, I'm just going to make this my answer because I don't really like mine.
Okay.
I just said generic Haunted Mansion merchandise, portraits, busts, tombstones, but they do some of that already, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump on with your answer, and I think it'd be cool to have... I mean, you could just carve a pumpkin like this, so, you know, there's that. Or you could buy a pumpkin, you know, an artificial one, obviously, that has a electric light in it, you know, and it's just there for you every year.
Yeah.
Carved with, you know, the really nice specialty kind of faces they do at the Magic Kingdom.
Exactly.
Or like the whole thing that says, see you real soon, or they say trick or treat or something. You could buy a series of them and put them in your yard.
That would, yeah, I like that better, actually, for the outdoors and light them up.
Great outdoors.
Like, as in, illuminate them, not
right.
Blow them up.
not take your Uzi to them.
I think that Walt Disney World should sell costumes. Adult costumes.
Oh, boy.
Adult costumes?
Clarify what you mean.
Costumes for adults.
Oh. Okay.
But I want them to be, like, do you all remember the, I'm going to say this, and do you know what, when I say Ben Cooper costumes, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
Okay, it was the company that made, like, the Halloween costumes that were, like, a plastic smock kind of a thing, and then a mask with, like, the rubber band, and they were really big in, like, the 60s and 70s and 80s, and I think they went out of business in the early 90s, but, like, I remember being like a child and having those kind of costumes. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that's like Americana, you know, that kind of a costume. Kids grew up buying those kind of costumes every year. They were so cheap. But people, you know, they're attached to that. Mm-hmm. So I think you could make Disney characters in that style and sell them to adults. And, you know, people might buy them. And again, they're very cheap because it's just like the little plastic bib, almost like a smock kind of feel of a, like a shirt.
Yeah.
And then just the flat mask with the rubber band and the eye holes. I think that'd be cool.
Okay. Any particular characters you'd want to buy?
Well, I mean, my initial thought is villains are always more fun.
Yeah.
But you could do a wide variety of characters. And they're cheap to make, you know? They're not expensive at all. Here, I'll show you kind of a...
Well, you just said cheap, and Disney is already at work developing these.
Well... That is true.
Those are terrifying.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did everything from like Sesame Street, but they had like just that kind of mask with that kind of plastic shirt.
Huh.
The flat, like here's the Fonz.
Nice.
So
that's terrific.
Yeah, I can see how that would be something fun to buy.
Yeah, and again, there's some nostalgia there, so people I think would buy it. Adults would buy it, and you probably could sell some for kids too. That. You know, didn't wear a costume to Mickey's Not So Scary or whatever.
Sure.
But they would be like, oh, I had a mask like that when I was a kid, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. All right. I'll give that to you. Number 7, if you could create a hard-ticketed Halloween event for one of the other three parks. So, you know, Magic Kingdom has Mickey's Not So Scary, but we need to give love to these other parks. And maybe they're more grown up, maybe they're not. What would it be like? And where would it go?
Now, this correlates to my earlier answer about Animal Kingdom. At nighttime, during the Halloween season, and maybe on select dates, like Mickey's Not So Scary, you know, except maybe different nights or the same nights to split it up a little bit, I couldn't find like a name in my head, you know, something about myths and legends. I don't know. You can't be offensive about it. I don't think jungle is really in the running or something. I don't know. Myths and legends, folklore. I don't know. So, overlays to the safari ride, which are coming anyway, but I mean a spooky kind of African, I don't know. All of these places, you know, native tribal legends have terrifying things in them. For instance, in my family in Canada, who are Native American, have this thing called the Zuniqua. And the Zuniqua is a black-faced, puckered lip creature. And he comes and takes children at night into the forest and eats them alive.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. you delve into some of these more, you know, primitive tribal folklore and legends, things get pretty creepy really fast. And so I think, you know, even if you did like a Horror Nights, Halloween Horror Nights kind of thing, and you had like a... one central myth or legendary creature that's going to be like your mascot for the whole thing. And really did it up a little more for adults, maybe with food and beverage carts like they do at Halloween Horror Nights. Uh-huh. People are into food trucks and all that kind of stuff. That would add a little element of fun. Maybe just between Africa and Asia, you have that there. And overlay the safari, overlay Kali River Rapids. Kali River Rapids, there you go. Kali Ma. You could do the Indiana Jones Temple of Doom.
Oh. Hopefully. Did not know where you're going with that.
My event is very exclusive. It's only going to be like, I'd say probably 8 to 10 people. Because what we're going to do is, but it'll run, several nights a week. So after closing.
So 40 people can be involved in this.
Yes. Okay. It's going to involve a little work. So stay with me. Okay. I'm going to retrofit one of the elevator cars at Tower of Terror to have more comfortable seats, all right? Because you're going to be in them for a while.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is you're going to go through Tower Terror as normal, and then when you load into your car and you're in your seat, your seatbelt remains strapped, and then you're going to go down to the part where right before you finish loading, there's that screen, and they are going to show you a scary movie of your choice. Okay, so you get to watch a scary film, a horror film in Tower of Terror. But at random times throughout the film, the elevator takes off up and down. So maybe you get scared, and all of a sudden, you're watching Chucky, and Chucky pops out, and you say, ah! And all of a sudden, then, boom, you're up, and you're down, and you're up, and you're down, and then you're back. And you're watching the movie, the movie continues kind of a thing.
So these are like armchairs with seatbelts, basically.
Yeah, I'm picturing like something, like a recliner that's comfy that, again, you just have to remain strapped in because...
For the all-inclusive price of like $250 a person.
Listen, if they're charging $300 for breakfast on the Jungle Cruise...
That's true. They're doing it.
Yeah, but that's... Oh my gosh. But the whole not-so-scary part, he's like $80.
That's true. But again, this
$80.
This is pretty exclusive. And you could even serve like popcorn and beverages in there and just like strap them to the...
I was going to say, they're all over the floor by the time this thing is over.
But wouldn't that be part of the fun? Like your drink?
Yes. Everybody leaves with sticky soda and popcorn all over them.
That is a mess. Literally.
They're terrified.
And you can have options. Like they'll give you like 5 options of movies to watch. So maybe you want to watch something that's more fun, scary, or classical scary. Or maybe you want to watch something that's like horribly, like Saw or something, whatever your taste is for your car.
Does your elevator have to unanimously decide?
Yes.
Okay. You could sign up for a different night, depending.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they let you know ahead of time what the film is going to be. Okay. But anyways, and then maybe even like one of the creepy...
cast members?
Cast members, hotel, whatever. Like they randomly bring you... refreshers once your popcorn and soda spill, so
like refills.
Yeah, no, they're called refreshment refreshers. That's the technical name.
They bring you refresher. Would you like a refresher? That's like a toothbrush, isn't it?
Well, they call them refreshments, so I think saying that it's a refresher is not that out of the question.
Anyway, my answer was actually too similar to Matt's, but I'm still going to say it. It's over at Animal Kingdom, and this is just this year, because by next year, like, it'll be open at night. But the fact that this park isn't even open at night, really, means why not have an after-hours event that you could make more money on? But instead of being myths and legends and things like that, it's just going to be kind of animal-themed. And, okay, do you remember Harambe Nights that they did? Okay, so, like, celebrity performers would come, and they would do... like Lion King related stuff inside that theater, and there would be a celebrity narrator. Well, not necessarily that, but in that theater, you could do something themed to the elephant graveyard and have like a whole special show. Maybe Scar and the hyenas are your hosts or something. And then you're going to have a nighttime safari with, the same animals, but at night. All the rides are going to be open, kind of like the not so scary Halloween party. So if you wanted to skip the entertainment, you could just do that. Okay, you have to have special meet and greets that are only available here. So you're going to have a Yeti meet and greet. Huh? Somebody dressed up as the Yeti.
Question, is he only stuck in one pose for every picture?
And they shine a strobe light on him. Yeah. And there may be an exhibit with, like, nocturnal animals, like possums and owls and things like that.
Possums. So exciting.
Those exotic animals that we all know and love.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, look, here's an example for you of the creepy crap that goes on in the deepest, darkest corners of the earth. And this would be a great theme for your event at the Animal Kingdom. I just randomly looked up scary African stories. Here you go.
Okay.
There's one called the Popobawa. He's a manifestation reported in Zanzibar in Tanzania. Is a demon who appears as a normal human by day and a one-eyed bat-winged monster at night that scoops up children, takes them into the woods, waking them in their dreams or nightmares, and then eats them alive.
Wow. That's pretty terrifying.
Popobawa. Number 8. If you had to add a fall or Halloween twist to a classic Disney snack, what would you do? Jeremy.
I had a hard time with this one. My first thought was to do something like a... And this may be disgusting, so don't judge me if it is, okay?
Okay.
But when I think fall, I think of, like, of course, pumpkin spice. I think of salted caramel. I think of like an almondy kind of a flavor for whatever reason. So I thought, could you do those flavors in a creme brulee?
Yes. Are you asking?
Yeah, because that's why I didn't know if that sounded disgusting to anybody or not. But it actually, at least the salted caramel one sounded good to me. And the pumpkin spice.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe the almond. I don't know. People like almonds. So, or like a pecan. Maybe pecan.
There you go. Better. Yeah, that feels more fall to me.
Okay. Mm. I don't like pecans, so there you go. But anyway, so you can sell these in the France pavilion because that's where all the creme brulee is. or Canada.
No, the creme brulee is literally at every restaurant at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, but that's where the good creme brulee is at the bakery.
That's where it's appropriate.
Yeah.
The boulangerie.
Well, they have like the, I guess the, thinking about it, don't they have maple maple syrup creme brulee in Canada? Or at least at Le Cellier?
I don't know.
I think I remember that. So I think those flavors would go along like that with the like a maple syrup. So
good. This was not hard for me. I came up with a million of them. But the one I'm going to say is, again, a waffle. It's over at Sleepy Hollow. And it's going to be a Thanksgiving waffle. So it's your waffle sandwich, and inside is turkey and cranberry sauce and stuffing.
Shut up.
Was that your answer?
No, it's not, but they have this at, what's that little place before you get to Canada? World Showcase. They have this in the at the holiday time.
Seriously?
It's a waffle sandwich with turkey and all that junk on it.
I suck.
What was your other millions of answers?
Okay, well, another one. What? Are you for real? I want that.
That's a good answer. Why is that a bad answer? You didn't know.
Oh, okay. But same with the Fort Wilderness thing. I already said something that's taken. Okay, so the cinnamon roll is a big popular treat in Main Street Bakery. So you could do a caramel apple cinnamon roll. So like an apple roll and then like caramel icing instead of the normal icing.
Mm-hmm. I love caramel apple anything.
Me too. So that would be good.
Which brings me to my answer, which I don't know how this would work. But if you, maybe at the confectionery or somewhere, they sold, no, this would just be a hot mess, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's fun. A pre-sliced apple, okay, that is, you know, like you take the little apple slicer thing you have in your kitchen, maybe the little one time, you know, it goes down, separates into, but then the apple stays intact, whether they wrap it with saran wrap or something.
Just a rubber band. Put a rubber band around it.
Yeah. And it comes with a little souvenir black cauldron that has your choice of either the red candy dip or chocolate maybe or traditional caramel. And you have your apples and you dip them there.
And I guess you get to keep the black cauldron?
Yeah, but this is, it's not black cauldron themed, believe it or not. I'm thinking the poison apple from Snow White. That's kind of a play on the, you know, just the regular caramel apple. I originally said caramel apples in which they have the caramel poured on it and they have the two big eyeballs that look like the skull that appears when she poisons the apple at first. But I think they already do that.
Yeah, I think they do that now.
So, the cauldron wins.
Nice.
I like your idea because I never get a caramel apple because I like caramel apples, but they're just so messy.
They are.
And it's hard to eat. Apple.
It could be called, take a bite.
I get it.
I would definitely take a bite because that would be a nice clean treat.
Yeah, you're right, Jeremy. That is the reason I don't buy those things because they are so hard to eat. Like you take one bite and it's all over your chin.
And then like if it's got nuts or something on it, like half the nuts fall off and you're like, oh, great.
I hate when half the nuts fall off.
That happened to me just yesterday.
Number 9, if you could give a Disney villain his or her own movie, which villain would you choose and what would the movie be like?
I hope I don't steal Matt's answer, but okay, I can't believe I'm saying this. Pirates has way too many movies already, but let's give Barbossa a backstory of how he...
I will preach this forever, but that's not my answer, so go
ahead. Okay, good. Stay with me. It'll be Breaking Bad, but with pirates. So, he's got a sick wife and son. He's just trying to raise money for his family, and he realizes that the quickest and easiest way to do that is to become a pirate. That's all I got, but he's got some mentor who takes
down
him
the wrong road.
Yeah, down the wrong road, exactly. So, and it'll be called Barbossa with an exclamation point.
Like you're shouting it.
Exactly.
Mine is the Wicked Queen from Snow White, who we now know as Grimhilda. I think it should be called Grimhilda. I don't know. Ooh. This is a very simple origin story, how she came to be queen, her relationship to Snow White, where her vanity came from, her jealousy. You know, she was sexually abused.
Not that that's funny.
No. In a Disney movie about a villain, yeah, it would be.
Yeah,
let's go with that. Grimhilda. Origins. Origin of evil. How she comes across, maybe she comes across the magic mirror, and that's what makes her go mad with power, because she has the answer to everything.
Oh.
Mm.
I chose Cruella de Vil. I think that there's a good origin story there, which I think we're getting, is that right?
Oh, with that's right.
Coming out?
Yeah.
But I think you could do it the right way as far as, like, I'm sure she started out as, like, a good girl who, like, dreamed of being, like, an actress or something, and then she was... scorned, and now she turned into the power-hungry woman she is, or whatever. So,
she was going to be the spokeswoman in like a commercial, but they chose a dog over her.
There you go. Yes,
that's so what happened, and you know it is. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this because just this week there was a big hubbub online about a possible Hocus Pocus 2. Themed around the Sanderson sisters, and it turned out it was just like a joke tweet where Bette Midler said, I forget what she said, but it was a total joke. Like,
she said something about we're still looking for a virgin, or we're searching for the virgin or something.
Right. But anyway, it definitely got people talking, so that would be kind of a cool movie to have them be the main characters.
Well, this new villain show at Mickey's Not So Scary, I think, has resurged some interest in Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, and hopefully it's shown Disney that people still care about a 20-year-old movie.
Absolutely, and why Disney does not tap in more to this 80s and 90s nostalgia that is...
Are you kidding? They're playing Hocus Pocus like 30 times between now and Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but I mean in the parks and dealing with other aspects of the company. I'm thinking specifically Disney Afternoon, but anyways, go ahead.
You want your Hocus Pocus bubble bath is what you're saying.
Don't we all?
Bubble, toil and trouble.
Doyle.
Yeah, I did. Doyle rules. Anyway, let's get to our final question of this spooky Mad Cue Party. And it says, if you could turn any room or building on Walt Disney World property into a haunted walkthrough or maze, where would you do it?
This is my tongue-in-cheek answer of the night. Everything else I have answered seriously with real ideas that I would enjoy seeing. Now, this could be funny, but it would never happen. And that is to turn the Odyssey restaurant at the at Epcot in between Future World and World Showcase. and I really don't even know what to call it. Let's say the Forgotten. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Really like, it's like hell for extinct Epcot attractions and characters. And so, like, Dreamfinder and, well, Figment's still alive, but Dreamfinder is, like, chained to a wall, you know. He's like, ah! The random, the robot from Horizons is no longer serving drinks, but he's serving out pain.
Is Dreamfinder's skin, like, rotting away?
Yeah, yeah. He's just old and decrepit and starved and,
What about
I don't
all
know.
The
Body Wars people. The Body Wars people are like in a rubber room.
What about the food from Food Rocks or whatever that was? And it's all like
rotting.
They're
just like stuck on the same like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Like moldy
food. What's the song they sing? What's that? Veggie fruit. They're like zombies.
Okay, what about The Making of Me? The eggs are all dried up.
Oh, yeah. Vasectomy.
My word. Oh my goodness.
Extinct Epcot attraction hell.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's sad, but I like it.
Yeah, it's very poignant. You know, it's scary, but it's like they're lost souls without meaning, without purpose.
Yeah. I think you could turn the entire Port Orleans French Quarter into a haunted walkthrough for several reasons. The first, on the serious side, it is French Quarter related, which is known for its spookiness, and I'm thinking specifically like the food court there with the giant masks and clowns and Mardi Gras stuff. Like, you had some smoke machines and strobe lights in there, and I'm freaked out already just with the stuff hanging on the wall. But then it's also scary as well because that resort is so ghetto. Oh, it's frightening.
Okay, look.
I like it.
It's scary. No, it's frightening. Look, French Quarter, you remember... I've said many a time that the French Quarter theming there reminds me of public housing. And so, well, you remember that Leprechaun, that terrible sequel, Leprechaun in the Hood?
Stop. That's a real thing?
I think it was filmed there.
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine, if you will, boarding a nighttime cruise and heading out to the now deserted Discovery Island, which still has some buildings standing. And the story is, it's all the cast members and animals who were left there when the park suddenly closed that area. Mm. And they're all begging to be let off the island and back home with their families.
Maybe you could even add something like there was a nuclear disaster on Discovery Island. And so now they're mutant creatures.
Nice. Yeah. But I think...
Like the Papa Boa.
Like the Papa Boa and Doris.
It all comes back around.
Doris.
Yeah. Doris. You really don't even have to put a haunted maze. Just like standing there, I think, would creep me out, seeing all those...
These people could not swim?
No. The nuclear disaster...
Oh, right.
Messed them up.
Water burns them.
Rendered them, yeah, burns them, yeah.
That's right.
The birds can't fly either, naturally.
Mm. In all seriousness, though, have you all seen the blog that was out some years ago of the guy who swam to Discovery Island?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, we talked about it on our show.
Oh, did we? Oh, I should listen sometime.
You were here.
Those pictures creep me out, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a chance to Google that, you should, because it's creepy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of creepy, we hope you have been thoroughly creeped out by this episode of the Mad Chatters podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can always find us over on social media. We're on Twitter at Mad Chatters. We are on Facebook. We appreciate those reviews on iTunes, so please keep those coming. And as always, you can send your comments and feedback to comments@madchatters.net. Happy Halloween. We'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now. When aspiring hip-hop performers Butch and Postmaster P and Stray Bullet cross-record producer Mac Daddy, played by Ice-T, by the way, their grudge against him leads to their own peril
after they break into Mac Daddy, spelled M-A-C-K, by the way, Mac Daddy's home and swipe an ancient medallion from a grotesque statue. The evil leprechaun, also here played by Warwick Davis, believe it or not, is freed from this magical prison. Soon the sinister little man is on the trail of Butch, Postmaster P, and Stray Bullet, along with Mac Daddy himself. This was made in 2000.
Wow.
Have you seen Leprechaun in the Hood?
I've seen it on TV a few times, but it's...
Is it Da Hood?
No, it's the, okay. The Hood. They weren't completely offensive with it.
We have some class here, okay? Yeah.
Butch, Postmaster P, and Stray Bullet weren't enough to, you know, Mac Daddy.
Stray Bullet, I love that name. From now on, I want to be Stray Bullet on the Cut podcast, guys, okay?
I'm definitely having a movie night on Halloween over here. I cannot wait. Oh, my word.